Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Success Beyond podcast. This episode is a little different. We recorded this back in the fall when Sabrina was still co-hosting with me. And so you'll hear Sabrina chit-chat with us today just a bit. So I just wanted to let you know nothing has changed. We are still moving forward with the new Success Beyond podcast, but I just want to give that little disclaimer. Today, we are talking with Katie Murray of Ginger Biz. She has her own podcast that she had me on and is just a lovely, lovely, lovely human being. She is a wife and mother who absolutely loves adventure. And during the day, you'll find Katie at the head of human resources at a private country club. You can also see her capturing small businesses and families through her photography business. And she also co-owns Katie & Co., which is a virtual assistant business for small business owners. I hope you get lots of good nuggets out of this episode. We are talking about how to slow down when you are a high achiever. So this is something that all of us can tune into. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and let's dive right in. Welcome to the Success Beyond podcast. In this podcast, we embark on a journey of discovery and growth through candid and dynamic conversations with seasoned professionals in the creative industry. Our mission's clear: to provide you with the knowledge, tools, and inspiration you need to thrive in your creative endeavors. Whether you're an artist, designer, writer, or some other type of entrepreneur, Success Beyond is here to educate, empower, and inspire you every step of the way. Join us as we unlock your full potential and elevate your creative journey with insights and strategies shared in each episode. Welcome to a world where success knows no bounds. Welcome to Success Beyond. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Success Beyond podcast. I'm super stoked to introduce you all to Katie Murray from Ginger Biz. Thank you so much for joining us today, Katie.
Yeah, Jen and Sabrina, thank you so much for having me on today.
Awesome. So I'm really excited for you all to meet Katie. She actually interviewed me on her podcast, so we will link that in the show notes as well, so you guys can go check her out and all of her incredible content. And as we chatted, we really realized that our mission is pretty similar in helping business owners like systemize and organize and all of those fun things. So I'm really stoked about today's episode. And today we're going to be talking about slowing down when you're a high achiever to still be successful. So tell us a little bit about your business, Katie, and then we'll dive into all the fun things we have for today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for having me on today. I am a business owner, a full-time employee. I work in HR. I'm the head of the department in a private organization, and I'm a mom, and yeah, we have multiple businesses in the podcast. So I kind of like to do a lot. I like to call myself multi-passionate. So I do a lot. And today's topic is near and dear to my heart because I am a high achiever. I want things to be as close to perfect as possible. And I like to be so efficient with my time. So I'm just excited for this topic because you can do so much with your time and you can protect against, you know, decision fatigue and burnout and running out of creativity because you're like pushing yourself too hard. So this is going to be a fun topic.
So is this a side business that you have being an HR at your other business then?
Yeah. So I work full-time as an employee in HR, but I have Ginger Biz, the podcast, and then I also run a virtual assisting firm. So I have a couple team members who work with me. Some work for my businesses and some are allocated to our clients with VA. I started as a photographer. And so I've been doing photography for over a decade. And there's been times when that's not a side hustle, it's my full-time gig. But I find a lot more enjoyment in having things to do during the week and not sitting at home as much. I like that interaction. So kind of a lot going on there. But yeah, so it is in addition to other elements of my life too.
Do you ever see yourself taking this on full-time?
No, I have tried a couple different times being a photographer full-time. For I think the longest I did it was 1 year, and then I've had a couple stints of like 6 months or so. And honestly, the isolation of just working from home, and I will say both the times that I've done it, I didn't have team members. Now I do have team members, so that might change it. but I'm so passionate in human resources. And the way that I look at everything is it's kind of like a trifecta, like a triangle for me is I'm a human resource professional. I have a podcast and KMP, my photography. And then the third tier is that virtual assisting firm, and all of which in the center is helping people. So in human resources, I'm helping people grow in their positions or grow in their career or get more out of what they're doing and find enjoyment out of their work, which is exactly what I try to do with the podcast. And as a VA firm, we're trying to help make business owners' lives easier. So to me, they kind of just all work simultaneously. And at this point, I love my job, so I won't be leaving it anytime soon. But, you know, we can leave room 5 years from now or something if things change and we pivot.
How did you find yourself transitioning from just being HR?
So I actually had entrepreneurship before HR. So I've been in HR for 2.5, 3 years-ish. And I've been with the organization for almost 5 years. But I already was an entrepreneur. I've done photography since probably 2009. And then with this business name since 2012. And so actually, I think a lot of people stumble upon their side hustle. My side hustle was more my intentions. And I stumbled upon my full-time job completely organically. I was sitting New Year's Eve looking online at Indeed and saw a job pop up. And I was like, well, I'm just doing photography right now. So I decided to go ahead and apply and then got the position and have been there since. So I think that generally, as you guys know, with entrepreneurs, it's usually the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like they're planning their own wedding or they start doing their kids' photos or, and it just happens so organically. That's kind of how my job came into play, which technically, years ago, that's how photography came into play too, is it just kind of grew organically. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that is kind of somewhat backwards than what most success stories are. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I love it. Ultimately, we opened the VA firm so that I could get away from doing as much photography. In 2019 and 2020 were, from my entire time of doing photography, my most profitable years. But they were also very, very busy. And you guys know, you work with photographers. So working full-time and then working all weekend, every weekend got to be a lot. So the pivot is more from Katie Murray Photography into Katie & Co., the virtual assisting firm, so that I can have those weekends back. And I could stay up. Today's a Monday. I could stay up late and work on things tonight versus sacrificing my entire weekend. So that's where that transition piece that you kind of asked about came from. But the full-time job is just happened. I don't have a background in HR, but I love it. And I approach it like it's a startup, which is super fun. So
being happy with your job is one of the most important things. So that's very awesome that you're able to find.
Well, and what I love about that kind of backstory is I feel like there is a negative stigma whenever you're talking to business owners and entrepreneurs that like, oh, you have a full-time job, you know, and I'm like, you know what? There is nothing wrong with doing something you love to do and getting a steady paycheck, you know, like it takes the pressure off the business. And I feel like when you have the financial stability to kind of stretch your wings a little bit more in a business that you enjoy growing and doing and seeing and being, it gives that business a lot more room to grow and to see higher success because you're not under that pressure of like, I have to meet this much money or these many clients day in and day out. So I love it. I just, one of my coaching clients, she is in the same boat. Like she has an incredible podcast management company, but she took on a full-time job so that she could have that stability and still grow the podcast management company. And I think it's a win all around. So kudos to you.
Yeah. And I think you're totally right, Jen. It allows kind of the best of both worlds if you're able to navigate that. Because again, I can really hone in on pivoting to a more luxurious experience for my clients because I'm not solely dependent on that finances. And then to your point too, Jen, is a lot of people like, oh, okay, so you like still work full-time because the business isn't as real. Now, girlfriend, it made more than my day job in 19 and 20. I've chosen to take a step back from it now just because life changes and I want to adapt and have my weekends. But it was never really, oh, I have to work to make ends meet. It was, no, I get to work and Sabrina, you're totally right. I don't think a lot of people love their job. So oftentimes when that conversation comes up and then I'm like, no, I love it. And I'm really successful at both of them because as a high achiever, like I don't fail at things often. And even if I do, I try to learn from those. And so it gives me that flexibility and it's a creative outlet. So I love it.
I think it's a perfect segue into this topic. I feel like intentionally taking a position, or for example, what I did was I stepped into a different role within SBTL so I could kind of slow things down and pursue other passions, or like you, like just have more time in my life back. And I think that's so important. And I think one of the points that you will make is it actually helps you be more successful to slow things down, to really, you know, step out of roles that are emotionally, mentally, or physically draining you. So talk to us a little bit about that, slowing down, seeing more success that way, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll take kind of more the business approach, but a lot of it's tangible on if you're in a career or if you're a photographer or no matter what industry you're in, because I think a big one for high achievers is really being mindful of preventing burnout. And I think that as high achievers, I'm not alone in the fact that like decision fatigue becomes somewhat of a problem because we're just always going and always making these choices. So I really want to give tangibles to your listeners, Jen and Sabrina, so that they can kind of try these things and practice and see how they work. But a couple things. One would be just like scheduling regular breaks, like pressing pause when you can. And yes, there's probably people out there being like, whoa, I wish I could hit pause. I wish I could slow down. I wish I wasn't in this hustle culture. And don't get me wrong, like even with my podcast, and I know that you guys experience this too, there are times when we record a lot more so that we can have that pause down the road. You have to be quality over quantity and really, really focus on being intentional with what you're doing and how you're doing it so that you can be intentional when you're not doing things and when you want to slow down and when you want to breathe so that you can recharge those batteries. In so many ways, we hear this. We hear it as like, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so the main things that I would speak to on this is really just scheduling regular breaks or regular downtimes, whether that's 5 to 10 minutes a day for you, or that's a week out of the month where you're not scheduling things after hours or you're not hustling and you're just being intentional. And then also other things like practicing mindfulness and even like meditation or creating routines in your life and setting boundaries and prioritizing self-care. Because again, all these things are going to make you be able to serve your clients better. So you're going to be able to build more and do more. And we can kind of dive into those individually, or we can hash it out however you guys want, because I have lots of thoughts and lots of things to share on them.
I really like the idea of meditation. I tried that a while back, actually from my Alexa. She helped me to do some meditation. And I was like, wow, this was actually really helping me fall asleep. And I told myself, I really need to look into this more, because if it's that easy and it can help me sleep, like look at what all the other things it can help me do too. So thank you for that reminder. I need to start doing that more often.
Yeah, you need to slow down and do it, right? I think it's funny because I feel like there's like almost a stigma around meditation. People are like, oh, cool, you can like slow your thoughts and like sit down. No, there's times when it's still a struggle bus. Like I'll sit there and it's still, my mind just keeps going. And I'm sure you've experienced this, Sabrina, when you've, you know, tried it. It does take some practice, like many things. We have to really be intentional with it and try to shut off our brain. But for me, sometimes it just means slowing down and thinking about like myself, even, and like thinking about, okay, you know, have you done this? Maybe you should go get a manicure in the coming weeks because you haven't slowed down and done something for yourself. And just getting all the other almost intrusive thoughts of like, I have to answer this email, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, getting those out of your mind and giving yourself space to kind of embrace the calm and the quiet, which is easier said than done. But like you said, you're sleeping, you sleep better, you probably are more intentional with like your daily routine. And some people, maybe meditation is they're walking on the treadmill while they're alone with those thoughts, or they lay in bed intentionally to stay awake 10 extra minutes before going to sleep to just be alone with those thoughts. And those can have huge impacts.
That's different than I was thinking of. So I like the idea of intentionally being with those thoughts and thinking of them, because to me, I was like, I don't want those thoughts. I want to clear my head so I can go to sleep. But I like the idea also of giving myself time to sit down and think about them, because otherwise I feel like those thoughts are in my head all day long and I'm not resolving anything. So the thoughts keep coming up rather than, you know, take some time, think about the thoughts, resolve them, write them down, whatever, so then I can get them out of my head. That's another thing that I like to do too, is make lists, just brain dump whatever comes into my head, just write it down. When it's down on paper, I don't have to think about it anymore. And I can tell in myself when I'm getting overwhelmed, I'm like, okay, I just need to write it down. And then it's down and I'm good and I can move on. So I like that idea of giving myself intentional time to think about the thoughts. I hadn't really thought about that before.
Yeah. And I'm just like that, Sabrina. I have a notebook and I write everything down. And when I get, let's just say this morning, I sit down at my desk and I'm overwhelmed because there's so much to do and going on. And I can't, again, it goes back to that decision fatigue. Cause I'm like, okay, now where do I start? What do I do? I'm like you, I write it all down and then I conquer it one thing at a time. And I set those boundaries, and that kind of pivots into the boundaries conversation of setting those boundaries. And then what am I going to do with those boundaries, and how am I going to honor them? And for me, with that, like last night, I look at my calendar, I know what to expect, what I'm going to be heading on today, and kind of what mentality I have to go into the day with. And today, it's a heavy recording day, so I've got to be ready to show up. But I know when my spurts of those 5-10 minute downtimes are, that I'm going to just take a minute for myself. And I guess I agree with you, like meditation generally isn't thought of the way that I describe it. But to me, it's almost like a debrief before the end of the night, or a kickstart to the beginning of the day, to just be intentional with my thoughts. And a lot of people will practice like gratitude during those time frames. And that's another boundary that I have for myself, is having kind of a positive spin on things. I'm naturally, I feel like, fairly negative or pessimistic. And so I've had to have a mindset shift with my boundaries. I say, no, I'm going to stop those thoughts from coming in, or I'm going to try to then overcome them by thinking of the positive. So like today, I'm thankful to get to be able to be on this show. I'm thankful that I get to come in and record, and that we could find an agreeable time, because I know I'm tricky with my schedule. But like all those things, okay, those are all great, versus, oh man, I have to record today. And like, what am I going to talk about? And what's going to look like? And this is so stressful. No, just focusing on the good. And that's kind of a part of those boundaries that I set with that meditation, with that mindfulness, and with those breaks, so that I can have that space.
So when you say that you schedule breaks, do you like literally write them down in your calendar? And when that time comes, you're like, okay, shut everything off, I got to go take a break. Or do you just keep it in your mind that, okay, I need to take a 10-minute break sometime throughout the day?
Great question. So I'm weird and I schedule them. So like for October, I have in my calendar right now, holding no activities, don't do it, Katie. That's what it says, because I know that I'll schedule something for myself. And so I'm just holding the week of the 22nd through the 27th with no extracurricular. I'm not doing any recordings. I'm not booking any sessions. I'm not editing any photos. And that was a pretty hard and fast one, because probably 2 weeks ago, I was starting to trend towards feeling burned out and feeling overwhelmed. And I realized, if I can't choose what ice cream I want in the grocery store, I need to slow down. And so I looked at my calendar, I blocked out some time so that I could focus on myself. But on the daily, I often use time block scheduling, so I do write it down. I'm the type of person that I will sit at my computer, especially at work, if I'm able to and I don't have disruptions, and just work, work, work. And then I'll be like, oh, I have to pee. Like, how long has that been there? So with that being said, I do schedule in 15-minute little breaks, whether that means I'm just getting up and going and getting a drink of water, or whether that means I'm going, you know, closing my door and just being present for a few minutes. The other thing that I do that's a little bit unique is, if I'm super overwhelmed, I'll draw a flower. I really love drawing. It keeps my hands entertained. So I have to physically be drawing. So I feel like I'm being productive. I feel like my hands are in motion. But it makes my brain have to just focus on drawing and slows me down mentally. So that's something too that I'll do periodically at work. And so then I have just like little bitty cards that I've drawn flowers on. And that's one way that I slow down, because I know that just sitting there, I'm going to pick up my phone or I'm going to see an email come in, or I'm going to be tempted to double check this one thing. So instead, I give myself an activity that I know will help me mentally. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a really great idea. I love that, because I feel the same way, that one, if I don't actually schedule it in my calendar, then be like, well, I can just push it off. I can push it off. And then the end of the day comes and you're like, crap, I never took a break today. So intentionally putting it in your calendar, I'm the same way. I'd have to do that. And then two, when your break does come, if I don't have a goal or a task to do, same way as you, I'd be like, well, I can just get this done real quick. Or my mind would start racing into, well, crap, did I do this? And I need to do this. Rather than if you have a task to do, you're still taking a break from what you are working on. So like it's a good mental break, but yeah, to have the task of drawing the flower, I really like that idea. I might have to start using that.
Well, Sabrina, question for you. When you're laying in bed at night, if someone ever is like, count sheep, do you struggle? Because for me, I'm like, okay, I'll get to 100. But the point is not to set a goal to get there. You're supposed to aimlessly think. So do you have that too? Like where you're like, I can't just think about nothing because then I'm thinking about something?
Yes. I don't even know if I make it to 100. I like will start counting the sheep and then my mind just goes on to other things. And I'm like, crap, what number was I on? So it's not, no, the sheep thing has not worked very well.
I'm the same way because I'll be like, okay, get to 100. No, just focus on getting, and then I get to 100, but I'm so set on getting to 100 that
it becomes another task.
Yes, I've hyped myself up for it. So now I can't. But in the reverse, I do that with the flowers. I'll be like, okay, you're on site all 5 days this week. You need to slow down. You've been not doing good at that. So I'll be like, okay, you have to have 5 flowers by the end of the week. I don't care if that means on Tuesday I did 2, but you got to have 5 flowers. Mm. And again, it's creating another task. But once I get into it, it's kind of like working out. Once you get into it, you start to feel it and enjoy it. But getting into it is hard. So I say, okay, 5 flowers, 5 workouts, whatever it is for you for that break, and set that goal. Because I think high achievers, we want to check that box. And so like you said, Sabrina, you get to check that box when you schedule it in. And for me, it's huge because if I'm not doing something, then I'm actually working against myself. I feel like because I am a high achiever, because I do have more emails, because I could be doing this. So really being intentional with that, I think is beneficial.
You said the thing about checking the boxes off. I like if I have a checklist of things to do and I did something that's not on my list, I will write it on my list just to cross it off.
Same. I do that too. I'm like, yes, one more thing I get to cross off.
Yeah, I'm like, it makes no sense. I already did it. Why do I need to write it down just to cross it off? But it makes me feel better.
So I'd like to talk about, you've mentioned the systems. So you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I am a systems nerd. So what are some of the systems that you recommend for business owners who, you know, have a lot going on to streamline either their processes or things in their life so that they can intentionally slow things down?
Yeah, this is a huge one, Jen. And I know this is where we totally jive because I could give you just like a list and a list and a list of all the things for systems. But I want to pause and say that like for those listening who maybe don't have a lot of systems in place at this point, take a deep breath because systems can just be as simple as how you approach something and you really hone in on it. Now, Sabrina, like you just said, you will write something down on your to-do list that you've already done. I think that's important because to start with systems, you can kind of audit check yourself. So what I'm able to do is pull out my notebook, see everything that I've worked on for the week, and then kind of reflect on like, wow, why did my content creation take 3 hours when it could be taking an hour? And then that's where you start thinking about your systems. Well, what did I do? Was I intentional with my timing? Did I set boundaries that I exclusively was working on it? Did I go into it with the right mindset? So first, you want to see where you need or want systems. And if you're a business owner in any capacity in, I would say, pretty much any type of business, you should have a CRM, so a client relationship management tool. And that's basically a way to onboard clients. That's a way to have a portal for them to log in and see things. It's a good communication tool. And then if you're a business that has reoccurring transactions with the same client. So if you're like us, where we have virtual assisting clients who pay us every single month, I set it up that it bills them every single month. Because that seems, oddly enough, as a business owner, that's like the thing that seems to kind of fall off my plate the fastest is remembering to bill people, which is like half the reason I'm even doing this is to make money, or more than half of it, I guess. But with that is creating those systems. And it depends on what that looks like for you. It could be as simple as a system for your time management, which would mean for me, I log in my email, my business email, periodically throughout the day, but at set times. That way I'm not just constantly answering emails as they come in because I think that's working harder, not smarter. And that's a system I have in place. And then what I do is I document kind of that system of what happens when I get an initial inquiry, what I get when someone's trying to book, what I get when they're ready to schedule something. I have systems for each of those. Ultimately, my systems are a way for me to eventually let go and delegate those tasks but know that they're getting done in a way that I want them to. So Jen, for a very tangible one, for my podcast, when I'm onboarding someone, I send them a link to a landing page, and this is the entirety of the system. It tells them what my podcast is about, gives them a link to it so they can listen to the show. Then they can apply to be on the show, which takes them to a questionnaire, which they fill out, which is, I would say it takes everybody like 5 to 7 minutes, as long as they know the topic they want to talk about. And then that pings me, oh, someone just completed the form. Then I go in, I do this once a week. I pull everyone who's completed the form that week, and I go through, make sure their topic's worth talking about. I create a Word document, pulling all the information from the questionnaire, which is just exporting it basically. And then I put in a couple questions that I know I want to ask them on that topic. And then I email them and I say, hey, Jen, loved what you wanted to talk about. Can't wait to have you on the show. Here's my calendar link. Schedule with me and we'll go from there. Then that automation, that system, you schedule through the link. You show up on my calendar. I've already created my talking points. So then I look at my calendar and I know tomorrow I have 2 recordings. I pull them up by their name, hash them out. And then there's a phase 2, because then once they get edited and everything, then we start the process of creating the content. But it's very systematic versus, oh, Jen just filled it out. Let me send her an email. Oh, now Sabrina filled it out. Let me do hers. I keep it very systematic because I think that when you get in the role, like in a rhythm of onboarding someone as a podcast guest, you can knock out a lot more versus stopping every 25 minutes or every other day to do it, because that slows me down because I could be really hyper-focused on something else and knocking that out. So that's one of the systems. Again, though, systems are huge for me. You can use like Loom and create a video to go through your entire system of one aspect so that then you can delegate. I think that that's amazing. I also have written SOPs for nearly every activity that we do in the business. That way, again, I can delegate it out during certain times. So systems are, I think, hugely beneficial and so impactful to de-stress yourself because you know that you have a system in place that's going to work in your favor. Also, as simple as I have an automatic responder, which can be super annoying for those receiving it, but it tells people the moment that they inquire with me, hey, I'll be in touch in X amount of time frame if you're a new client. If you're a fellow vendor, I'll be in touch in this time frame. And this is what you need to do if you need something super urgently. And again, that sets up clear expectations, that creates a system and a process so that I can then tackle those as I need to versus playing defensively and tackling them as they come in. But again, Jen, huge question, because I could just talk and talk and talk about systems.
Are you ready to run your business rather than your business running you? Then you need HoneyBook. Streamline your processes, get paid even if you're not at your desk, have your form sent out without having to click a button, and get the information you need to provide your clients with an exceptional experience. I've been using HoneyBook for over 6 years in various businesses and recently switched my business completely over to HoneyBook from another CRM. And I could not be happier with the switch, with the team, and the various tools that are now at my fingertips. If this is a system that you want to look at, then I would love to offer you 50% off of your first year if you head to the link in our show notes. Thank you so much. And I hope you love HoneyBook as much as I do.
One of my clients, she uses an autoresponder also, and I'm surprised at how many people use autoresponders. When she sends a newsletter out, I'll get 50-ish or so replies that are all autoresponders. I'm like, wow, I never really realized that that many people use them. And it's not just, I'm on vacation, I'll get back with you when I get back. It's kind of like you said, like, hey, your message was received. We'll respond in this amount of time. If you need this, click here. If you need this, click here, or email this person or whatever. I mean, it actually has, you know, really beneficial information in there. But yeah, I'm surprised that so many people use it. And I also feel like that helps that you've responded to the client, so you don't feel that urgency to have to respond to them right away. You know, they know that their message was received. You'll get back with them soon. They're not sitting there waiting for it immediately. And I think that relieves a little bit of pressure on your plate as well to have that set up.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I've had a couple people be like, oh, your autoresponder was confusing. Generally, it's not my ideal demographic anyways, so it works out. But most my ideal clients would be receptive of an autoresponder for the most part. Mm-hmm. But if that's like a little, you're deterred from that, you can also just add information in your signature. I think that's hugely beneficial. At my day job, I do that. I put my office hours. Mm-hmm. That way, not that everybody reads it, but that way, if they're like, dude, why hasn't Katie gotten back to me? They can see my office hours and my signature, or you can put upcoming out of office mm-hmm. dates there to help communicate kind of outward what's going on. Like, we're out of town next week. And so I include that in my signature or in my autoresponder. Like at work, I don't always use an autoresponder. In fact, I mostly don't, but that's just because most people know when I'm working there. But I do put one when I'm on vacation there, and expectations of like what your inquiry is about, how quickly I'll get mm-hmm. back to you. Because like you said, I think it's a little bit of a checking of the box. It says, hey, I'm going to get back to you. I do exist. This didn't go into a black hole, and here we mm-hmm. are. So super small systems, or you can have huge systems in place. Like, I know you guys on your team have big systems in place because you have team members who are conquering certain elements. Like, my content creation for the podcast is almost exclusively done by one of my team members. We went through and made templates, and because she's not me, and as a high achiever, I'm picky about what goes out there for my businesses. And so we created templates and gave her sort of guidelines of how much freedom she has with it. That sounds ultra controlling, but ultimately it's just to make sure that everything's branded and she has an outline of how to go about it. And that's another simple system so that she can keep that flow going, even if I'm out of town or if it's one of my pause days.
Yeah, no, I don't think that sounds over controlling. I mean, because if those templates or systems were not set in place, that's a lot of back and forth communication on fixing XYZ. Whereas if you already have those templates in place, that narrows down a lot of that back and forth communication. And like you said, if you're out of office or whatever, she can get those completed and done without having to sit on it and wait around. And I also really like the idea of the upcoming vacation times, because it would give me an expectation. Oh, I wanted to email her next week about something. Oh, but she's out of town. I better go ahead and ask my question now, rather than the day of your vacation and I get the autoresponder, you're out of office. I'm like, crap, I really needed this answer. You know, if I would have known ahead of time, then I could have asked you beforehand. I always really like those when I see them like on their email signatures, you know, upcoming out of office dates or whatever. I'm like, that's really helpful. I like that.
It is super helpful. And it gives you peace of mind too, because if I emailed you, Sabrina, and you are out and I'm like, Sabrina always responds super fast. Like, what's going on? That would trigger me to be like, oh, just kidding. Her autoresponder actually said she was out. Like, pay attention mm-hmm. to this, because it gives you that sort of those expectations and that grace, because you're like, hey, I did communicate it to you. And so that's helpful, because ultimately I think educating our clients, even if it's as simple as our schedule, is super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you use any sort of systems in your personal life, like outside of your businesses?
I do. I outsource things. I outsource cleaning and meal services. I guess those are kind of systems for me in a sense, just because that way I don't like cooking, and cleaning I just feel like is not super productive for me, because it would take me like 4 or 5 hours to do what the cleaners do in like an hour. And so if I look at it financially, I could be making money during that time frame and making more than what I'm paying out. So that's a system that we utilize. And then also I try to be on top of laundry in a systematic way. So rather than be like, oh, I really need that shirt next week, anytime the basket gets full, I do a load. Mm-hmm. That way it just is more systematic. Again, I don't like playing defensively. I think that's kind of a trend or a theme that I'm speaking to, is I don't ever want to be behind the ball. I always want to be on the offense, kind of ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in your personal life, it's a little bit harder to have those systems set in place. But like you said, the cleaning and the meal services, that's one less thing that you have to think about. You outsource that and you get that taken care of somewhere else. That gives you the opportunity to slow down in your personal life, to take time to do other things. I'm the same way with laundry and, you know, cooking. I want to have my meals planned out for the week. I want to have my groceries already bought. I want to try to stay on top of laundry. It doesn't always happen, but yeah, I want to play on the offense, like you said. It makes me too stressed out to play on the defense when I'm like, you know, I got too much crap going on and I got to catch up on everything instead of doing little bits at a time and staying on top of it. It's so much better.
Yeah, Totally. And another system that I didn't think of that we do is we have working nights and like resting nights. It's football season now. So my working nights generally fall on like a Monday and a Thursday and a Sunday, just because my husband's already going to be up late watching football. But often Tuesdays are also a working night for us. So that means once we get home, once we do dinner, once we get the kid in bed, then we'll stay up for an hour or two at least and just work on content or whatever we need to work on for that week. Because that way I know then on Wednesday night, I can come home and just turn on a movie or read a book. And so I do have kind of, I don't know if those would necessarily be considered systems, but more of like boundaries mm-hmm. in my personal life of when I work and when I don't. And like this weekend, I had a wedding on Saturday that I was photographing. And so that was going to be like a working day. Not only because I'd be at the wedding, but in the morning when I woke up, I knew, well, if I'm going to have to leave for probably 10 hours, it was an 8-hour wedding, but probably 10 hours with travel time, I may as well be intentional with it. My daughter already knows that today mommy has to go to work, so I'm going to spend some more time working. And then because we had a sitter, she's going to be asleep when I go home. I'll stay up an extra hour or mm-hmm. two. That way Sunday, we can go to the park and we can do whatever we want to do without having to kind of, especially for her, spread it out throughout the weekend. Instead, she's like, I don't get mommy Saturday. I get mommy all day Sunday. And so it works out really well. We kind of do that too with like dropping her off at school and stuff. But you can really implement any systems, any boundaries, both professionally or personally to help grow, but still feel like you're achieving things.
I love all the tips that you've given so far. And I love that, Sabrina, you asked a question about the personal life too, because that's so important to make sure that you're serving your personal life or meeting your personal goals, even if you have multiple businesses or you have a full-time job and a business or two businesses. Like that, I think, is one of the most important things. And one of the things that business owners, entrepreneurs really struggle with is ensuring that they're still taking time, not only for, you know, themselves, but for their family, or not only for their family, rather, but really for themselves too. Because, you know, we're really good, especially as moms, putting ourselves at the back of the bus instead of, you know, making sure that we're getting what we need in order to continue serving in the business and at our job and in our family.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too, that sometimes like as I know that for you guys, you really support photographers. It's such a creative industry that as a high achiever, you have to be able to slow down to give yourself that space to let the creativity right. come in. And at the end of the day, like systems and processes are going to be amazing, but you also have to a little bit go with your intuition. Like if I wake up today and today's the day my daughter needs me, we just got to go with mm-hmm. that. Or if I wake up today and I'm not feeling creative, then I'm going to focus on administrative heavy yeah. things and then hopefully slow down, maybe read a book, maybe do that meditation we talked about or whatever the case is. And then the creativity will also then flow. Because if you're stretched so thin that you don't get, you know, I don't actually believe this, but this is how I quantify and kind of compartmentalize. I have my job, I have my businesses, I have my husband, I have my mom hat. And those are all pillars in my life. And if I want my marriage to be successful, I have to pour into it as much as I have to pour into right. my business. And businesses, I think a lot of listeners can relate to this. It's like our baby, right? Like we don't want to just hand it off to just anybody to work on or to do stuff with. But it still needs some TLC, just like my child needs that, just like my husband yeah. needs it. And what I recently learned is Katie is one of those pillars too. I got to put my own name in the hat. Like I have to put time for myself. And that doesn't, I mean, I understand this, especially for newer moms or newer business owners, that it feels like you have to be working all day, every day. But with that, you also have to just slow down and give yourself that space because you need it too. You need time to be able to like read a book. Yes, I love taking a shower without my kids, without my business, without my phone. It's amazing. But sometimes it's important to go for that walk by right. yourself or to read that book by yourself.
Now, I think we've spent a lot of time, you know, kind of like societal wise over the last, the trend I've seen has really been in the last like 3 to 5 years. It's probably been around a lot longer, but for me, I've seen it a lot over the last 3 to 5 years. My son's also 6, so there's probably a correlation there where like self-care is, you know, taking a bath or like taking an uninterrupted shower or, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, that's such BS. Like, yeah, it's nice. I like my concert showers. Like, it's fun, but that's not taking care of what I need. Taking care of what I need is making sure that I do a hobby that has nothing to do with anybody else. You know, it's for me, it's reading a book. I read all the time, you know, or going writing or writing, you know, working on my book or, you know, things like that, that are just for me, that are just things that I enjoy doing for the sake of joy. It's not making sure my hair is clean.
You know? Right. That you have good hygiene.
Like that should just be like a standard, is that you get to shower and, you know, figuring out ways to make that happen. Trust me, I had my son home full time with me for a long time when he was itty bitty. And I know that can be tough, but like, that's just the standard. I really feel like when we're talking about self-care and slowing things down, like I want you guys, I'm talking to y'all, the audience, our listeners, to raise that bar. Figure out, okay, what are your personal goals and how can you set up your life creating systems or outsourcing or delegating to actually fill your cup, not take an uninterrupted shower. Do something that's strictly for you. And that's going to look different for everybody, you know, and that's totally okay. If yours might be that you go get a manicure and pedicure. Mine is that I'm going to go get dirty out in my barn and I'm going to love it, you know? So it's just, it's finding things that are beyond taking a bubble bath or beyond, you know, an uninterrupted shower or cleaning the house by ourselves. Don't even get me started. Like, that's not self-care.
No, and I think the mistake that people make is they, like, for me, I want my house to be clean when I sit down to do my self-care. Yeah. So they kind of like tick the box, like, see, we're working towards self-care because I'm cleaning the house. No, girlfriend, hear us when we say, have, you know, someone that you know and trust, take the kid to the park so that you can be at home and not do something. Jen, I bet you can relate with this, and a lot of the listeners can, and maybe you too, Sabrina. I don't know you as well. But with that is that when my husband would take my daughter to the pool in the summertime, I'd be like, okay, I have 2 hours. Okay, so we could knock out this much content. I could do this. I could record 2 episodes. I could do this. I could do this. And then I'm like, or I could sit on the couch. No, what is that? That is, why are you crazy? And then you like start to think of like all the things you need to do. And then half the time, because I'm just such a child, I'm like, I don't do anything in that time frame. And then I feel bad for not doing anything. So it's again, that slow down, that pause to say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it because I deserve this. And so then I pull up a book and I sit down and next thing I know, they're home and I got my time. And I think that that's important. And if it is for you that you're not there yet, you're not ready to say, no, it's 100% me time. Then when you take your kid to the playground, like I do this a lot, I'll take my sketchbook. Drawing is a theme here for me. It slows me down. I enjoy it. So she can be playing. She's safe. I can see her and I'll just sketch for a little bit. Then you start getting better at doing those things and making those time for you. And I think a big one, and Jen, you spoke to this recently on Instagram, is that like we don't need more time in the day. We need to be more intentional with our time. Because believe me, I have the same 24 hours that everyone else out there has. And I'm able to do this. Now, that's because of the phase of life I'm in right now. And you might not be in that exact same spot at this exact same moment. But know that you can start doing things to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, start small. Start. I always like to tell my clients, like, start with what's easy. I feel like so often, like, perfect example, we decide, okay, I need to lose 20 pounds. So then we restrict everything we're eating. We work out 5 to 7 days a week. And then we beat ourselves up when we have half a cupcake at a birthday party. You know, it's like all in or nothing. When that actually becomes the issue is we went 110% from zero and now we're overwhelmed, we're stressed out, we want carbs. And if I look at one more dumbbell, I'm going to throw it through a window. That's too much. Start with what's easy. Start with, like you said, doing 5 minutes or 10 minutes of intentional meditation before you fall asleep. And one of the things, like, I can't count sheep. My brain's like, ooh, there goes like all 12 conductors on the train, like yelling at each other, figuring out who's going to get the 10 minutes. So what I started doing was I started reciting, I guess, my affirmations, or like what I'm, and you mentioned this too, like what I'm grateful for. And instead of like writing it down, I would just close my eyes, and that would be what I would focus on, because that's a lot easier to come back to for me. If I'm like, I am grateful for my business. Oh yeah, I have this thing I need to, nope, we're grateful for and get back,
yep.
Get back on track. So that's, you know, if that feels easy, if that's easy for you to carve that time out through the day, that's what you start with. And then, like you were saying, Katie, you build on it as you go. You don't need to make sure you're taking 2 hours of self-care every single week when you've gone 5 years without any.
No, and you're totally right. And I'm completely guilty of the all or nothing factor, right? Because like when we first transitioned into getting up earlier to have more morning time, because I'm a huge component of like get up early, get ahead of the eight ball before the day starts even, especially now with my little, because she functions so much better if I let her get herself dressed, if we kind of mm-hmm. go at her pace, which honestly, when I'm behind, feels like it's forever, but really it takes her like 10 minutes. Like she's efficient, she's good. But as moms, we'll be like, okay, we got to get out the door. We keep pushing them. So when I first decided, hey, we're going to start getting up earlier, me specifically, and whether we normally get up at 6, and that means I want to start getting up at 5, that doesn't mean all of a sudden I have to get up at 4:45 and be ready to go. And just all of a sudden, every single weekday, do this. You can pivot at 10 minutes, wake up at 5:50 instead yep. of 6. Make it easier on your body, make it easier on you. And then before you know it, you'll be waking up naturally at 5 a.m. or whatever. And that's where it comes in with intention. And I mentioned this earlier, I'll look at the day ahead. Well, today I knew that I'd have an easier morning because I wasn't leaving the house. So I did my morning intentions this morning. I laid in bed for an extra 10 minutes, consciously awake, trying to just think about, you know, things are good. We're caught up on things. Life is good. I had a great weekend, like everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you do that and then you roll into the day. And that was just a quick 10 minute right. thing. So the all or nothing mentality, I think too, like nothing happens overnight. Nothing's going to be perfect. And one salad is not going to make you skinny and one cupcake is not going to make right. you obese. Like it is what it is. And you have to give yourself that grace. And when you do slip up or forget to wake up early or don't do that meditation, that's okay.
Right.
No big deal. You missed it. Try again tomorrow.
Yep. I love that. I think that's something that, you know, we need to remember. I would say, okay, actually, let me just back up for a second. So we are hitting almost 50 minutes. So I want to make sure that we walk away, or our audience walks away with like one tangible thing that they can go implement today. So if you were to give our audience that one thing, what would you say?
Can I give three options so they can
pick? Yes, I love it. I love options.
Is that against the rules? I would say first, reflect on what you need, what phase of life you're in right now, and then go down one of these paths, whether it means that you want to prevent burnout, whether it means you want to enhance your decision-making skills or leave room for like innovation and creativity. One thing that you could do as a takeaway is promise yourself today and tomorrow you're going to stop for 10 minutes just to have, at any point in the day, you maybe get up to go to the restroom and then you realize, you know what, I have a few minutes, and just slow down. And what you do with that 10 minutes, I would say, is completely up to you, but just make a accountability sort of statement to yourself right now. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend 10 minutes on myself and take a page from my playbook and maybe draw or knit or do something with your hands to slow you down. The other thing I would say is if that doesn't work for you, is wake up 7 minutes earlier tomorrow and just think about three affirmations or three gratitudes that are important to you. Or if it's about setting boundaries for you, I would say take one thing and make it a system. That can be whatever it is. So Sabrina, earlier you mentioned that you write down things that you've already done. We'll look back and say, what is taking me the most time? I want to create a system for that. So that's kind of three takeaways. It's a lot and you could try all three, but remember, we're not doing all or right. nothing here. So take a break, practice mindfulness, or create a system. Those are the three main things that I would say in this moment. And if you don't know where to start or what to do, you know, you can reach out to any of us, I'm sure, and kind of get some ideas on that. But it really depends on where you're at. I don't want this to be a Katie knows all, because this is what works for Katie right now in my time of life, in the phase that I'm at, with my business, with my job, with my child. So for you, figure what works for you and take one of those three things.
I love that. That's awesome. All right. So where can our listeners hang out with you? Where can we follow you? Listen to your podcast, all the things.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jen. So you can go to katymurrayphotography.com. That's KatyMurray photography.com and find me there. Everything is linked there. The podcast, the VA firm, everything. But you can also follow along on Instagram at katyandco.va. So KatyandCo.va. And we're over there or at GingerBiz on Instagram. That's probably my most active account right now. So GINGERBIZ on Instagram. And I love to chat. So hop in the, if the kids say, you know, slide into the DMs, happy to chat. Or if you don't know where you want to go with a system or what boundary to start setting, it's, I think, helpful to chat it out. So feel free to reach out and we can always chat there.
Love it. Awesome. All right. So we always like to wrap up our episodes with three quote unquote quick fire questions. So my first question is, what is your favorite business tool?
Ooh, that's tricky, but I'm just going to go off the cuff right now. Canva.
That's one that we don't get too often, but I do love Canva. It's makes life easier. All right. And then what is your favorite quote?
Oh, I should know this, but I don't. I would assume it's something from Eleanor Roosevelt because I feel like I quote her a lot, but I can't.
It's funny. My favorite quote, it's been the same since I was in first grade, and it's an Eleanor Roosevelt quote. And it's the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. See, and that's like, they're so powerful, right? They're just so encouraging.
Yeah. My first grade teacher, Miss Lovett, I wish I could like go give her a hug because I'm like, listen, the quote that you have hanging in your classroom when I was however old you are in first grade has been with me for 30 years. I literally have it hanging up behind me in my office. So I love it. And okay, and then where are you located, Katie? I keep forgetting.
I am in Maryland, just outside of Washington,
D.C. Oh, fun. Okay. I actually have a couple of good friends up that way. All right, so if we were going to go out for drinks, non-alcoholic or alcoholic, whichever you want, where would we go and what would we have?
I would say there's a couple good Mexican restaurants around and like a jalapeno margarita is good. Or a blended margarita. Although the irony of that's my first choice, is I actually don't usually drink alcohol. So that's kind of funny. So a good Sprite will do. But yeah, I think jalapeno margaritas are delicious. And we've got we have great food around here because DC is just like a crazy melting pot. So
awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I'm super excited for our audience to hear all of your tips, hear all of the different resources and knowledge that you shared with us. So thank you so much. And we will catch y'all next time.
Yeah. Thank you both so much.
Well, that is all we have for this week. I am so grateful that you tuned into this episode. If you enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, I would love if you took a moment to subscribe or leave a review for our channel. That would mean the world to me. And you can always hang out with us over at the gram at successbeyond.co. Thanks, and we'll see you there.